For these things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 28, we find in this gospel the Lord Jesus Christ had gone into a period of concealment. He had taken a time of concealment for the simple fact that John the Baptist had recently been beheaded. And because John the Baptist was beheaded, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken a time to try to get away on the coast of the Mediterranean in the areas known as Tyre and Sidon. And in this particular area, the Lord Jesus Christ is basically seeking solitude. And yet, as is the case in many days in the life and ministry of Jesus, he was not going to find solitude on this day. Notice, if you would, in your notes, in Mark chapter 7 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "And from thence he arose, and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet." Notice those words, "he could not be hid." How many of you moms have had a day like that? You just wanted to find the corner of the house somewhere, have a cup of tea, and hide, but you could not be hid. Any of you relate to that? All of us have days like that. Jesus wanted just a respite. His dear friend, John the Baptist, had been beheaded by Herod. He wanted just a moment of privacy, but he could not be hid. You see, there was a mother that needed him. There was a godly woman looking for him, a God seeker, we might call her, not from a godly background, but a seeking woman who wanted the help of Jesus this day. She was looking for him. I thank God today for women who seek the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for women who are looking to find their help from the Savior. In the last 20 years, the feminist movement, Planned Parenthood, and other liberal organizations have done everything in their power to degrade the role of motherhood in our society. And I'm sad to say that in many cases they are making inroads in our country today. Several years ago, Dr. Paul Vitz, a professor at New York University, surveyed 100 texts in our public schools. And in the 100 texts, they did not find one single story uplifting the role of mothers or motherhood. Oh, they found many stories about suffering women in Burma, dress and sex role reversals. They had many stories about same-sex marriages, but not one story that lifted up mothers and motherhood. Ladies, I want you to know today the Bible lifts up the role of motherhood. Our Lord Jesus Christ, even as he hung on the cross of Calvary, looked down to his mother Mary and said to John the Beloved, "Behold thy mother." In essence, he was saying, "Take care of Mary, my mother." The Lord Jesus lifts up the role of mothers. I love the little quote from Sarah Hupp, which says, "A mother's lap is the best place from which to launch a life." Thank God for mothers who read the Word of God and read stories and give counsel and help their children to come closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Today in Matthew chapter 15, we see a mother. She is a woman from Canaan, from the country of Syrophoenicia. She was a woman who was a Gentile. That is, she did not come from the Jewish tradition of the Lord Jesus in the sense of knowing about the customs and cultures of the Jews. This was a very known fact in her life and testimony. She was probably a worshiper of the pagan deities that were involved in her religion from her particular cultural background. But she comes to Jesus, seeing that he is a Jewish teacher. He is a man that many said was the Messiah. And this woman, as she comes to the Lord Jesus this day, is now coming to him with a heart filled with faith. She is a woman turning from her idolatry, turning from the immorality and the debauchery of her culture, and turning to help from this one that was called the Son of God. I wonder how many mothers today in the Antelope Valley and throughout our state, though they do not realize it, are involved in forms of paganism. They are involved in forms of lifestyle that are not according to the Word of God. I wonder how many mothers today who have tried every kind of debauchery and immorality and idolatry, and all of a sudden they're beginning to sense what this woman sensed. My children are having problems. I mean, I've raised them on HBO and MTV, but all I'm getting is really the influence of Satan in my home. Would be to God that this would be a church where women from this type of a pagan society called America could come and find Jesus and find help for their children and learn how to raise a godly generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman was that way. She turned to the Lord Jesus in a sense of repentance, saying, "Lord, I need your help. I've tried the ways of my ancestors, but my daughter is demon-possessed. My daughter is vexed or under the control of a demon." This woman comes to the Lord Jesus here in a house on the shores of the Mediterranean. I believe Jesus perhaps was seated at a table as he gave reference to the breadcrumbs falling from the table. And I believe as Jesus was in this house, expecting perhaps a little bit of privacy, this woman comes seeking help for her family. Notice, if you would, in our outline this morning, the plea of a parent. The plea of a parent. The Bible says in verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me." You know, something I've learned about being a parent, it doesn't matter how busy you are, it doesn't matter how much is on your plate, your number one thought and desire as a parent is that your children would do well, that your children would know Jesus, that your children would live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the percentage of mothers in America with children under 18 years of age, mothers who work outside of the home, is 72%. 72% of mothers working today, working outside of the home. And I know that every one of those mothers, some no doubt need to work financially, but I know that as they're sitting at their computer, their thoughts are on their children. I know they're wondering how their child did in school that day, or did they eat all of their lunch, or did they stay away from the wrong friends. That's just the way a mother thinks. It's the way a mother lives. The combined average weekly work hours for couples with children under 18 is 91 hours. 91 hours mom and dad are out in the workforce, many times away from their children. But their heart is always thinking about their child, about their children. That's how this woman was. The number one priority in her life was the welfare of her daughter. Notice her plea for help. She comes to Jesus with a plea for help. And as she comes with this plea, she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." You see, this woman comes to Jesus with the right spirit. She has no thought of her pride. She has no worry or care about what others might think of her. She cries out to Jesus using his messianic term. And she says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David." She obviously recognized Jesus to be something more than just a prophet or teacher. She believed that he had the power to touch and change her daughter's life for eternity. I believe this woman saw what many Israelites did not. For the Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. And yet this woman saw in him the power of God. She saw in him the person of God. She came with the right spirit. She came to the right person. She came to the right person. I know it's very simple, but let me say it this morning. The fact of the matter is that your faith is only as good as its object. And here we see a woman whose faith was placed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a day of pluralism and many religions and many Eastern and pagan religions now abounding in America. And some politicians in their effort to embrace all are saying that all religions are the same and all roads lead to the same place. It doesn't matter where your faith is placed as long as you have faith. My friend, the key today is not having faith alone. The key is placing your faith in the right person. And the right person is the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman came to the right place, to the right person. Her faith was in the right object. Many people put their faith in a lot of different objects. I remember years ago, some folks gave us some season passes to Disneyland when our kids were younger. We were down there one Christmas season, and I heard a mother kind of scolding her kids a little bit there in the line. And after a little while, the mom got really distraught. And finally, she looked at her child, and she said, "Now you listen to me. Santa's coming tonight, and I can tell him not to come." And I remember thinking, wow, I knew moms were powerful, but that's amazing power. Some people in their lives, they look to family. Some look to Santa Claus or some other kind of religion. But you know, my friend, your faith is only as good as its object. This woman loved her daughter, and she wanted to come to the one who could change her daughter's life. Her daughter, the Bible says, was vexed with a devil, verse 22. The word vex means to be under the power of a demon. And that's a terrible, terrible condition. I know many of you like me have been at the grocery store and you think you have seen children like this there. Children under the power and influence of something terrible. But I want you to know that when we consider this particular story, this is literally demonic influence. Now, I believe there are many young people in America through all of the perversion and through all of the various different temptations and trials and wicked movies that seem to uplift demonic activity. There are many young people under this kind of an influence. But this particular woman had a daughter with a stronghold in her life. This demon was vexing her. This demon had power over her. And so the mother comes to Jesus with a heart longing to help her child. Only the heart of a mother would come with this kind of passion. I read some time ago about a 36-year-old mother who was diagnosed to be in the last stages of cancer. She went to the doctor seeking advice, and as is often the case, the doctors have varying types of advice. One doctor literally said, "You know, you're going to have just a few weeks of good health remaining. I recommend you go to Acapulco and just have some time there in Acapulco with your family and just make the most of it." Another doctor said, I can't guarantee it, but I believe if you were to take chemotherapy, you might have another year or 18 months left on this planet. And she began to pray as to what God would have her to do. And as she prayed about God's plan for her life, she sat down and wrote a letter to her children. And in the letter to her children, this Christian woman said, "I've chosen to try to survive for you. This has some horrible costs, including pain, nausea from chemo, the loss of my humor, moods that I cannot control. But I must try, if only on the one chance that I might live a minute longer. And that minute could be the one you might need me when no one else will do. For this I intend to struggle tooth and nail, so help me God." That, my friend, is the heart of a godly mother who will do everything she can and will fight to the very last moment for the welfare of her children. This plea for help came from the heart of a mother whose daughter was demon-possessed, who only Jesus Christ could help. But notice, if you would, it was a plea for mercy. This was a plea for mercy. And I want you to notice that in verse 22, she says, "Have mercy on me." She recognized she had nothing to offer the Lord. She was a Gentile woman. She was from a different culture. She was from a pagan religion. She was a woman with a past. She said, "Lord, have mercy on me." She did not have money. She did not have friends in high places. I mean, she had nothing to offer Jesus Christ. And so she cries out and she says, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And friends, I don't know about you, but I thank God today for His mercy upon me. For all of us are just sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. We had nothing to offer Him but our filthy rags and our sin. And we come to Him and we say, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And in His mercy and grace, He saves us. This woman cries out for the mercy of Almighty God. Oh, the Bible says in Psalm 86 and verse 15, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." Hey, how many of you are thankful for the mercy of God today? Thankful for it. Oh, the plea of a parent. It was the plea for the mercy of God. But notice, secondly, the persistence of a mother. The persistence of a mother. Now, men, all of us could learn from the average mom when it comes to praying with persistence. And every one of us need to be challenged this morning about our prayer life. But I want you to see the prayer life of this woman. She didn't know a lot about prayer. All she knew was that Jesus was the one who could answer her prayer. Notice, if you would, in verse number 23 of our text this morning, the Bible says, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." What an unusual response to a plea for mercy. Notice, her request is met with silence. Her request is met with silence. The Bible says in verse verse number 23, but he answered her not a word. Now, I don't know about you, when I pray to the Lord, I sure appreciate an answer right away. When I'm praying that God would touch someone's life or provide for some physical need, I always appreciate an answer to that prayer as quickly as possible. How many of you, like me, you like to hear from the Lord just as soon as possible? But here the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't say a thing. Here the Bible says he answered her not a word. Why is that? Why was it that Jesus Christ would not just immediately answer the prayer of such a pure-hearted, seeking woman? Well, I believe there are a few reasons. First of all, I believe Jesus was about to test her faith. Was this woman just another looky-loo that wanted some bread and fish? Was this woman just wanting to see the miraculous like so many others? Or was this woman truly seeking after God with all of her heart? And sometimes, my friend, when we bring prayer requests to the Lord and we don't have an immediate answer, it is because there is a determination from God to test our will and to know our heart and to let us take time in order that we might come to Him with full faith and assurance. And we see this in this lady's life. You see, God knows that great faith will not give up. God knows that great faith is not deterred by obstacles, by setbacks, or by disappointments. God knew that if her faith was real, she would keep asking and she would keep trusting. The second reason I believe Jesus delayed in his answer is because he wants to affirm his heart for the house of Israel. Perhaps he did this for his disciples that were standing there. He wanted them to know he had not forgotten his mission to come and to seek the Jewish people, the children of Israel, and save them. Oh, they had not been receiving him well. But his heart was to come unto his own people. And he speaks of this in verse 24. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when she begs again, he says in verse 26, it is not meet to take the children's bread, meaning the children of Israel, and cast it to the dogs. A very tart way of saying, I'm come first unto the children of Israel. I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But by these words, the Lord Jesus is simply assuring his disciples, I have not forgotten the Jewish people. I have not forgotten that I have come to call the house of Israel to repentance. And so, because of these reasons, the Lord Jesus does not respond immediately to her prayer. But notice, secondly, her request is made again. She has a silence from the Lord, then a theological explanation from the Lord, if you will. But now notice what happens in verse number 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Would you say those three words with me this morning? Lord, help me. One more time. Lord, help me. Here we see a woman who will spare no effort for her daughter. We see a woman who could say, Lord, I don't understand all about your redemptive plan to the Jew first. I don't understand all about your sovereignty. I don't claim to understand, and I know I'm not worthy. I just know I need help. Lord, help me, she says. And she cries out to the Lord, seeking his face. And I want you to know today, you don't have to know all about all of the answers to the Bible questions, and you don't have to know how to pass every theological test. But if you know that you need help, there is a God that will hear you. She just simply and humbly says, Lord, I need your help today. And oh, what a wonderful mom she was. She was willing to try and try and pray again that her daughter might be made whole. I heard about a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old that went to a flower shop to get a plant for their mother for Mother's Day. They used their own money. Their mom was thrilled when they brought the plant in, and it was beautiful. And then the 6-year-old boy said to his mother, said, Mom, there was a bouquet at the flower shop we really wanted to get you, but we just couldn't quite afford it. It was too expensive. And said, Mom, we know how you're always so tired, and we wanted to get this one for you. It was a beautiful plant, and it had a banner right on the front of it that said, Rest in Peace. And I'm going to tell you, no mom truly rests when their children are not where they should be in this life. And that's exactly how this mother felt. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The demons, they're coming. They're tormenting my daughter. And oh, as we see the devil fighting teenagers today, with 1 in 4 young women now possessing an STD in their body. As we see today the devil fighting teenagers with all kinds of gothic styles and immoral styles and major, major clothing industries like Abercrombie and Fitch that are promoting lifestyles of immorality and involving themselves in adolescent pornography. And we see our children bombarded with it today. You can sense the cry of the mother, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do for my daughter. The devil keeps coming and burdening her down. Notice some things about her prayer. First of all, it was a brief request. Just three words, Lord, help me. She may have felt like she only had a moment, and maybe the disciples were about to brush her away. And so she just says, Lord, help me. It was a humble request. I want you to notice there in verse number 25, the Bible says, then came she and worshiped him. The word there implies that she bent her posture or she knelt down to him. She humbled herself before him. And I want to tell you something, friend. None of us in this room are any better than this woman. And when we come to God's house and when we open God's word, we ought to have a humbling of our heart and we ought to come to the Lord. And we ought to all be here this morning, not just mothers, but all of us saying, Lord, help me. I've got to have your help for my family, for my business, for my life, for my children. Lord, please, I humbly ask you to help me. It was a humble request. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Oh, my friend, we ought to have fun in church and laugh and enjoy the things of the Lord. But there's also a side to this matter of worship that involves humbling our heart before the Lord. It was a brief request, a humble request. Notice it was a believing request. This woman believed that if she could get her daughter to Jesus, that he would change her life. Mark chapter 10 and verse 51, there was a believing man. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. My friend, what a blessing to know that God still honors the faith and prayers of his people. And we see this woman coming to him believing that God would answer. And then notice it was a fervent request. She was asking the Lord and trusting the Lord every step of the way and asking him to provide. We see the plea of a parent. We see the persistence of a mother. But notice, if you will, thirdly this morning, the provision of the Savior. What's Jesus going to do with this woman? She won't stop praying. She won't stop believing. She won't stop loving her daughter. She won't stop asking. What is Jesus going to do with this woman? Verse 28, the Bible says, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Boy, ladies, what a great challenge today. O woman, great is thy faith. Men, what a challenge to us. Great is thy faith. Notice Jesus honors a mother's faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. How many of you believe this woman diligently sought the Lord this day? And God rewarded that. John Wesley said, I learned more about God from my mom than from all the theologians in England. You see, this woman would not stop seeking Christ for help. She would not stop seeking. She would not give up like Abraham. She grew strong in her faith through testing. Like Jacob, she would not stop wrestling and working until God would hear and answer her prayer. And my friend, God honors the prayers of our faith. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 8, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and ye, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus said, when I see importunity, that is, when I see persistence, when I see someone whose faith will not fail, that type of faith touches my heart. And so Jesus honored the woman's faith. But notice, Jesus heals the mother's child. Jesus heals the mother's child. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, listen, Jesus had come to his own, the Jewish people, and they had not received him. And so now he turns to a Gentile woman, a woman from a terrible background, a different religious background, but she was willing to have faith in him. And he turns to her in mercy, and he touches her daughter's life and heals her. Charles Spurgeon says of this moment, "The Lord of glory surrendered to the faith of the woman." Someone says, how do you reconcile the sovereignty of God and the prayers and the desire of this woman? I don't know that I can explain it all except to say exactly as Spurgeon said. It was the prayer of faith that touched the heart of God. And my friends, your prayers are not futile. You are not wasting your time when you pray for your family, when you beg the throne of grace for your children, when you pray for your wayward spouse, when you ask God to provide and supply financially, when you are trusting Him and seeking His face. You are not wasting your time, for Jesus said, I will hear and I will open the door, and if you seek me, you will find me. Thank God for praying mothers this morning who get on their knees and pray for their little daughter and their little son and perhaps their wayward child. Thank God for mothers who don't give up and who keep asking and asking and asking. I want to say to some moms today, don't quit. Don't give up. Never throw in the towel. God loves your family and God hears your prayers today. Oh, what a wonderful God we serve. A God who loves us and a God who answers the prayers of His children. And there might be someone here today like this Syrophoenician woman. You're from a different background. You're from a different culture. You've had some religion, but it hasn't kept you out of sin at all. It hasn't changed your life one single bit. I mean, you go on special days here and then. But I wonder if there would be someone here who needs to come to Jesus this morning. Someone here who needs to come and say, Lord, I've been living a life of sin, and I'm filled up with pride. And today I'm turning from that, and I'm repenting of that, Lord, and I'm asking you to forgive me, and I'm asking you to save me. Even as He changed this young girl's life, He could change your life today. If you would come to Him with a heart of faith, you could be born again this very day. Whether you're a mom, a dad, or somewhere in between, my friend, there's a God in heaven who says, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And just as this woman called and God heard, if you'll call this morning and ask Jesus to save you, He promises to hear and answer that prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time this morning to look into the heart of a woman, but more than that, to see the heart of God. Thank you for mothers who never give up, who pray and trust and love. Bless them today, Lord. And then help each of us to apply this message to our lives. Our heads are bowed this morning. Our eyes are closed. And I wonder how many in this auditorium this morning who would simply say, Pastor Chapel, I'm a parent, a mother, a father. And I have children. Maybe they're young. Maybe they're teenagers. Maybe they're grown. And perhaps their problems are not as severe as this young woman that we studied this morning, but you're burdened for them. You just sense that there's some problems. And you'd say, Pastor, God spoke to me today. I've not been praying for my children like I should. I mean, I've not been coming to Him day after day, multiple times a day. And I need to be one of importunity. As a parent, God spoke to my heart about praying for my children. Would you lift your hand this morning all over this room? Prayer changes things. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder if someone's here, you say, I'm not a parent, but God sure spoke to me about prayer today. Pray that my prayer life will improve and increase this week. Would you lift your hand this morning? Is there someone like that? God bless you. God bless you. You may put your hands down. And I wonder today if there's anyone here, if you were to die today, you're not sure that heaven would be your home. You say, Pastor Chapel, I've had some religion. I'm here in church, but I don't know that I'm heaven bound. I don't know that I've really made ready for that. And I'd like to know what it means to have Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'd like to really have that settled in my heart. And if you're here right now, perhaps as a guest, perhaps you've been here before, and you're not sure that Christ is your Savior, but you'd like to settle that today, I tell you, my friend, He'll hear you. And I wonder who would say, that's me. I need to settle this issue that I have a relationship with Christ. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning? Just lift it up. Lift it right up. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to be. All right, God bless you. Who else this morning? I'd like to get that settled. Who else this morning? Pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. Our Father in heaven, I pray this morning for families. I pray that you would increase the prayers of parents and that you would bless and honor the faith of those prayers. I pray that children would honor their parents and that on this Mother's Day, you would get the victory. Lord, I pray for those in this room who may not know for sure that heaven is their home. I pray that they would come and be saved today. Bless this invitation, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand together this morning? Today we've seen the faith of a woman in desperate need. May I have your attention? I found in my life, we often do not get fervent with God until our needs are desperate. And yet the reality is, we are always desperate for God, for His touch, for His hand. Maybe God spoke to you today about your need as a parent to pray for your children. Maybe today you'd like to come as a husband and wife or a single mom or dad and pray. Just start today, right now. Others will come for baptism or perhaps church membership if the Lord's leading you in that direction. There may be others today that just need to come and say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I want to get it settled. I'd like to know what it means to have Jesus living in me. And we have ladies here to talk to ladies and men to talk to men. And we'd love to show you from the Bible what that's all about. We invite you to come today. The greatest decision you'll ever make. And so right now on this Mother's Day, if you need to trust Christ or you'd like to come and pray for your family, you come and we'd be glad to help you in any way we can. We'll be here at the front. You come as we sing, especially if you need Christ, you come right now.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
What a beautiful sight this morning. Brother Schmidt, help these here. What a beautiful sight to see one mother bringing another mother to trust Christ as her Savior. One friend bringing another friend on Mother's Day. Every mother needs Jesus as their Savior. There's not a friend like Jesus. There's not a helper like Jesus. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you still need to slip out, we'll wait for you. You can come right up to the front right now. We'd be glad to help you. If you need Christ as your Savior, don't hesitate. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you hear and answer prayer. And we thank you, Lord, that you desire our prayer and our fellowship. We pray today that you would help us as we apply this message throughout this week. Help us to live it. Help us to sense that you are hearing those prayers. And help us, Lord, even when we may not sense that, to continue coming and seeking your face and searching our own hearts. We pray in Jesus' name.